Welcome to yet another episode of the First X Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Rotimi Daramola. Of course, you find more podcast content on Twitter at One for the Goals, ONEFORTHEGOALS. Before you enjoy the weekend of European club football, and then before we go on to the Champions League next week, I thought to quickly talk to you, in case you missed it, about the South American version of the UEFA Champions League. That's the Copa Libertadores. It's currently in its semi-final stages. Two games. Of the four teams that remain, I think three are Brazilian Serie A sides: Atletico Mineiro, Flamengo, the side that won it 2 years ago. What's the name of the other side again? Flamengo, there's Atletico Mineiro, there's just Palmeiras. Palmeiras are the reigning champions in the Copa Libertadores. They won it, I think, by a lone goal. They won the final by a lone goal last year. I think it was against either a Brazilian side or an Argentine side. Palmeiras against Santos, yes. It was against the Brazilian side. I can't forget that game. I mean, it was really just really snuck it in. I think it was heading to extra time. Yes, it was heading to extra time after 90 minutes of cagey football. From a throw-in, the Palmeiras player down the right flank crossed a header, and that was it. I think this one was played inside the Maracana Stadium. Yes. So, fast forward to, that was played on the 1st of January 2021. So you could understand my shock when, by the time it was September 2021, we already have another final staring us in the face. But before we get the final, the semi-final is upon us. Three of the four sides are Brazilian. The other side, Barcelona SC, is an Ecuadorian, however I like to call it, side. And the semi-finals, I watched both the semi-finals, and I have to say that the football that is being, club football being played in South America is completely different from the club football that is being played in Europe and maybe Africa. I've seen a bit of African club football too. It is, for starters, I think it is faster. Yes. The game against the first semi-final, that's Palmeiras hosted Atletico Mineiro, and there were some familiar faces in both sides. From Atletico Mineiro, it had Hulk, it had Diego Costa, former Chelsea player. For Palmeiras, we had what's the name of this guy, Douglas Luiz. I think Luis Adriano, I beg your pardon, Luis Adriano. Then there was this defender who played for Inter Milan one time, Felipe Melo. Yes, Felipe Melo was also part of the Palmeiras side. Now, they are reigning champions, and they have that responsibility to say, okay, you know what, we want to defend our title, the hard-fought title that we won early this year. So they went up against Atletico Mineiro as the home side, now Palmeiras I'm talking about, and boy, did they put up quite a defensive show. I think that game only had a few shots on target. Yes, I'm just trying to look at the numbers again, and for all it's worth, it was 2kg in the whole game. There was only one shot on target, and that was in the whole game. So you can understand what I had to endure. Like, there was only one shot on target. Everything else was off or blocked. Total shots, of course, Atletico Mineiro, I'm not surprised they had almost triple the amount of shots that Palmeiras managed, 11 shots, compared to Palmeiras' 4 shots, that's total shots. Because Atletico Mineiro, I should give you a backstory. So Atletico Mineiro have really been on fire in recent games. I think in their last 10 games, they have not lost. Yes, that's how good they have been in recent times. And you can understand the likes of Diego Costa has been really eating good for the Brazilian side. I think since June, or let's say since July, and they've only lost twice. Even if just, I think it's only one self, yes. Since July, they've only lost once. And since July till now, they've played 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 games. Oh, 20, 22 games. Now, imagine that the side has only lost one game, one of their last 22 games. I mean, there was a lot of momentum going for them, Atletico Mineiro, and I think it's safe to say that for Atletico Mineiro, up against Palmeiras, away from home, they really put on quite a show. They pressed hard. At some point, they even won the penalty, yes. And just so you know that, just so you know which side was maybe, let's put what, the better side. They won the penalty. Diego Costa was fouled in the 18-yard area. Hulk stepped up and, of course, he lashed his spot kick against the base of the post. And it was a missed chance. And I said something after the game. I said on my Twitter handle, I said, look, if there were no penalties in this game, penalties were the only way, or was the only way that either of these two sides could have scored, because it was so cagey. Now, Palmeiras came in with the mindset of, okay, we know Atletico Mineiro, they've scored. I mean, Atletico Mineiro have not failed to score. They've only failed to score, let's say, maybe like once in that 22-game run that I just mentioned now. Yes, just once. They've not failed to score. Okay, twice. I mean, if you add the Palmeiras game to it. But before the Palmeiras game, they've only failed to score once in 21 games. Now, that is massive, and that is huge. Now, for Palmeiras coming into this game, they knew how much of a threat Atletico Mineiro was to them. So, it was just like they just sat back and like, okay, you know what? We're not going to do much. We're just going to let this one play itself out. We're just going to let this one be as cagey as possible. And you can't blame them too, because they have lost the last two games. I mean, both sides are Brazilian Serie A sides. So they've met twice already this year, in February and in August. And both times, they lost 2-0 respectively to Atletico Mineiro. So they set up in such a way that, you know what, nothing is getting past us today. Sometimes they use five at the back. Sometimes it was as long as the midfielders, trying to fit themselves into the back line to make it sometimes six. It was really, really cagey. Diego Costa was frustrated at some point in time. It was tough. The tackles were actually really, really, at other times, reckless. And it got me wondering, it's one of the other reasons why the Copa Libertadores is different from anything that you have ever seen when it comes to club football, because there are tackles that will fly. Tackles will usually fly. Now, you beg the question, in the European League, why is it softer? For me, I feel it is softer than the Copa Libertadores. Softer in the case of what kind of tackle is labeled reckless, and how reckless should the tackle be before it earns a player, say, a yellow card, or say, a red card. And I think that for the Copa Libertadores, if you watch these games, I mean, both semi-finals, yes, I will still come back to Flamengo and Barcelona SC game. Both sides got a red, and I will definitely explain that later. But the Palmeiras game was so cagey. Tackles were flying everywhere. And, I mean, there wasn't... I didn't see that many red... Sorry, I didn't see any red cards. But I didn't even see that many yellow cards in the game. And these were crazy, like crazy tackles, if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, in the whole game, filled with crazy tackles, there were just two yellow cards, one apiece for both sides. So I kept wondering, is the Copa Libertadores tougher? I mean, should we use this as a metric when comparing the toughness and the craziness of the Copa Libertadores and the UEFA Champions League? I know you're going to want to come with the most watched. Let's leave the most watched. Yes, we're talking about toughness. how much strength you need to have as a defender or as a striker to be able to cope in any of this tournament. And I dare say that when it comes to craziness, when it comes to toughness, from what I've watched in recent times from the Copa Libertadores, maybe the European League has, Champions League has gone soft because maybe the organizing bodies are trying to protect the players. But in the Copa Libertadores, it don't seem like as if there's anything protecting the players, because defenders are unforgiving. Oh, fine, we missed the ball. Oh, well, you do not miss the players. So I think it's one of the other things that makes the Copa Libertadores different from the UEFA Champions League. Another thing that makes it different is the pace at which it is played. And it brings me to the Flamengo, the other semi-final, that's Flamengo versus Barcelona SC. So Barcelona SC coming into this one, really, really hot on form. They've done well for themselves in the Copa Libertadores so far. They've actually achieved a lot as regards coming this far. At this stage last season, I think it was just the Brazilians and the Argentines. No Argentine making it thus far, just the Ecuadorians, and you can understand. Is it Ecuadorians? Like, I think so. Yes, should be. And they've been doing well for themselves in the competition because I checked the numbers, and it was only one of the last four games before the semi-final clash against Flamengo, who, by the way, I think were the reigning champions before they got knocked out, and then Palmeiras took over. So I just can't remember if it was in the 2019 season. I think they won in the 2000. They won the Copa Libertadores in the year 2019, because that was what earned them the opportunity to play against Liverpool. Yes, if you remember that FIFA World Club Cup. Yes, tongue twister. Final, yeah, if you remember, I think they lost to Liverpool, yeah, with the likes of Gabi and what's the other guy's name, Henrique. So, speaking of the pace, Flamengo didn't care. What they wanted from this one was, we are going back for our crown that we lost last season. And from the get-go, they turned up the heat. They turned up the heat in this one, and it was much more satisfying to watch than the cagey the first semi-final that was cagey, this one between the two Brazilian sides. And as you'd expect, familiar with each other, so it was only normal for it to be cagey, but I didn't expect it to be that cagey. So Flamengo from the get-go, Gabi and what's the name of the other guy, Gabriel Barbosa, also called Gabi Goal, yes. He was really, really on fire. Dribble here, there, and everywhere. Of course, he played the 4-2-3-1 formation. Bruno Henrique, and Everton Ribeiro. These guys, all these three guys I just mentioned, they failed to turn up in, I think, the last Copa Libertadores in which they were knocked out, either in the quarterfinals or the semifinals. I really can't remember now. But it was a really sloppy display for them the previous season. And then it was like they came back, and you know what, we have to get this done. Of course, they have familiar names too. David Luiz, you remember David Luiz? Of course, he now plays for Flamengo FC. Diego Alves also, that famous goalkeeper. I think I remember him being in between the sticks, either at Valencia or Real Madrid. Was it both? I really can't remember. Now, he was also in goal for Flamengo. And like I mentioned earlier, came out like a house on fire. In the first half alone, they scored two goals and they hit the woodwork two times. And guess who was even hitting the woodwork? Bruno Henrique was hitting the woodwork twice. And when I saw him, I remember watching him last season in the Copa Libertadores. And the first thing that came to my mind was, why has this guy not left South America to say maybe try to play for an European side? Well, he's 30, so maybe that might actually be an issue with him moving and all of that. Of course, I had the same question for Gabriel Barbosa. Clubs have actually, how do I put it now? Have been courting him over the years. I remember him at Inter Milan, going on loan, going back to Brazil, going to Santos, Benfica and all of that. Maybe it didn't really pan out well, but whenever this guy plays in a Flamengo FC shirt, the guy really turns up the heat. I remember his first contribution to the goal was I think it was, he made a cross goal for Bruno Henrique to tap in. I think the second one too, he made the pre-assist, yes, I can remember, switching the ball to the right before it was crossed in by who again? Yes, Vitinho, yeah, who was part of the three playing behind, what's it called now, playing behind Gabriel Barbosa on the 4-2-3-1 formation, and it was fast, yes. All this thing that I've said, now you probably thought, oh yeah, you know what, Flamengo FC had a field day in the first half. It wasn't as straightforward because while they managed four shots on target, Barcelona FC also came to the fight and contributed three of the seven shots on target in the first half of that game. And I think what really hurt Barcelona FC was that Nixon Molina got two yellow cards in the space of, say, 25-ish minutes, thereabouts, 25 minutes. And what that meant was that Barcelona, for all the first 10 minutes where they put Flamengo on the back burner, they could not make the most of it going forward. They were pegged back. And that was after the two goals had been scored. So you guessed right, they got more defensive. Damage control was switched on. Flamengo, for all the forward forays that they made, could not add a third goal. And of course, for Barcelona, they could not venture out. No, actually, they did. And it was actually quite fun. I would have thought maybe they would just lay back. They'll just be laid back and not do anything. But in the second half, both sides had an equal number of shots on target. That's two apiece, and it goes to show you just how how do I say it now? Should I say how competitive the league is? But more importantly for me, for what I saw, how at a fast pace this league games can be played, because the Flamengo game was almost like a basketball game. It reminds me of Cadiz Barcelona game that I watched yesterday. That one, the only difference between that game, that's the Copa Libertadores semi-final game, and this La Liga fixture was it was like a basketball game, but points were scored in the Copa Libertadores game compared to the La Liga matchup, which if you remember, ended in a 0-0 affair for both sides. But it was fun to watch, and what it means now is that Barcelona go home, Barcelona SC now. Oh, interestingly, I'm mentioning two Barcelona sides. Yes, one is in the Spanish La Liga, and of course one is an Ecuadorian, should I call it? An Ecuadorian side. It plays in the Liga Pro in Ecuador. One plays in the La Liga in Spain. So we have the second leg, return leg, next week, where Barcelona will welcome Flamengo, and Diego Costa and co. will play host to the reigning champions of the Copa Libertadores. I don't think I've been able to convince anybody yet that the Copa Libertadores is better than the UEFA Champions League, because it's of the noise. Yes, another disadvantage, or should I say another con in this conversation, when I say con, C-O-N, conversation about which of the two is better or stronger. In the Palmeiras game, the stadiums were as good as empty, yeah, I dare say. And you can understand, I think, with the whole COVID thing in Brazil, I actually thought I understood. They switched over to the Flamengo game, and it was quite a noisy house. I mean, it was really noisy. The energy of the fans was there and all of that. And I'm wondering, what exactly is this inconsistency as regards crowd numbers in the stadium? It might have to do with health. It might have to do with safety, the COVID-19 safety and protocols and all of that. But nevertheless, it was quite an enjoyable game. I'm definitely looking forward to the second leg between both sides. More importantly, I'm actually rooting for, say, a Palmeiras-Flamengo final, because the Palmeiras defense is solid, and I'd love to watch them when they face off against the likes of Gabi Vitinho, Everton Ribeiro, and of course the man who got 2 goals for Flamengo against the Ecuadorians, talking about Bruno Henrique. I'd love to see how the likes of Felipe Melo can cope the number 30. Of course, he wears the number 30 for Palmeiras. How he can cope against these fast players who don't play like their ages. I mean, Bruno Henrique is 30, but boy, when he gets the ball, does it look a bit like Robinho? Yeah, he plays a bit like Romeo. Not as direct as maybe Ronaldo. Still has a bit of tricks here, there, and everywhere. But then again, he looks solid. And sometimes I wonder or I argue, is this guy really, really, really 30? Because he doesn't necessarily play his age. So, second leg, two slots for the final is at stake. Of course, we can say Flamengo have 1 foot in the final. Yeah, barring all unforeseen circumstances and barring football happening where, you know, Ecuador scored 3 goals in the first 15 minutes of the game and Flamengo are left chasing the game, but they have the advantage that they are playing away from home, so 1 goal and they could just put the final nail in the coffin. But for you, do you think everything I've said now, do you feel like maybe not necessarily neck to neck, do you feel like the Copa Libertadores has a shout, is in with a shout as regards being compared to the UEFA Champions League? For some people, it's the UEFA Champions League or nothing. But then again, we know that football is a sport where, regardless of how top or at the top of the game you are, there's still always room to make comparisons based on what you see, based on numbers, based on experience, based on metrics. So from all the stuff I said, how fast-paced it is, of course, particularly the tackles. I wish you guys see this Copa Libertadores games. I mean, it was just like, you know, when the tackle is completed, you're like, okay, yep, that has to be a yellow card, right? Or a red card. And the referee just goes on ahead to pat the player. Like, you know that you've done it twice, a third one, and then you're going to get a caution. I'm like, what? Do you want to kill these players? Like, how are these players even surviving? So, for me, I just spoke about the competition based on what I saw, and I had to do, of course, you have to compare it with the elephants in the room, which is the UEFA Champions League. So, for you, from everything you've heard in the last 20 minutes there about, do you think that both competitions are comparable? Yes, do you think that even if it doesn't come neck to neck with the UEFA Champions League, at least the Copa Libertadores with its toughness and with its unforgiving nature, do you think it comes anywhere close to the UEFA Champions League? You can leave us a comment on Twitter, One for the Goals, ONEFORTHEGOALS. Just as we're rounding up this episode of podcast, I'd love you to do two things for me. First is to leave a review wherever you get this podcast episode from. If you have enjoyed it, if you have enjoyed the humor, if you have enjoyed the little bit of information that you didn't know before about the Copa Libertadores, please leave a rating wherever you get your podcast episodes from. Secondly, is to share this podcast with a friend or share it on your social media and let people realize that there is some fun podcast that they should be listening to when it comes to football. Whatever you're going to be doing, the weekend is here, whether you're going for a party or you're just going to be doing your laundry or you're just going to be chilling at home watching like 59 games across 10 football leagues in the world. Whatever you're going to be doing, I hope you make the most use of your time. I hope you stay safe. I hope you remind your loved ones how special they are to you. And most importantly, I hope you make the most use of your time, because while life is incredibly long, yep, that's right, life is also incredibly short. I'll catch you next episode of the podcast. Cheers, my friends. Bye for now.